Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. In the House early this morning, President Bush lost the game of budget brinksmanship.
The yeas are 179, the nays are 254. The conference report is rejected.
The president's all-out push for the $500 billion tax and cut deficit reduction package could not overcome the public and political backlash, Rob Armstrong reports.
All the arm-twisting and all the jawboning failed to rally enough support to save the budget compromise. Even an emotional appeal from House Speaker Thomas Foley could not stem the tide of opposition.
We have an opportunity to stand together in at least the decision to go forward, at least the decision to give an opportunity for a decision, at least a chance to make this process work for ourselves, for the president, for the parties, and for the American people.
The prevailing view was that the package was unfair in raising Medicare premiums and unfair in taxation. Republican John Kasich of Ohio.
I don't believe the people that put this package together understand the public mood. Let me tell you what I believe the public believes. They think there's ripoff, waste, inefficiency, and bad programs, and so do I.
It is a major defeat for the congressional leadership and a serious setback for President Bush. A majority of both Democrats and Republicans voted no. Now Congress will likely approve a short-term spending bill to keep the government solvent into next week, but the president has said without a budget resolution he will veto such a bill. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A disappointed George Bush was in the Oval Office at 6 this morning to start figuring what to do next. Deborah Potter reports on the White House View.
The real question, said spokesman Marlon Fitzwater, is where do we go from here? President Bush had threatened to let the government shut down if the budget failed to pass, but this morning there are indications that he might change his mind. Said Fitzwater, we want to see what the congressional leadership has in mind. In his words, we've got a lot of conversations to hold today. We want to talk before we decide what to do. That appeared to open the door to a possible compromise that would keep the government running while Congress tries again to come up with a budget. Deborah Potter, CBS News, the White House.
Adding to the grim economic outlook, today's report of a rise in U.S. unemployment to 5.7%, a more than two-year high. On Wall Street, one broker predicts an ugly session today. The House action sent shares tumbling from the opening bell. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 52 points in the first 15 minutes of trading, but is now off just 40.84. Market watcher William LaFave looks for further recovery.
I have a feeling that that's the worst of it, that as the day wears on and you get some sensibility coming out of Washington, then you're going to see much of this decline be reduced and could possibly even get back to a plus.
In Europe, stocks are also down, with the Frankfurt Exchange losing over 2% of its value at the close. The House vote killing the budget compromise sent the dollar higher overseas as speculators count on continued high interest rates. Gold is up over $3 an ounce in London. Already worried about chemical and germ weapons, U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia are now faced with a new threat from Iraq. The Los Angeles Times reporting Iraq is armed with so-called fuel-air explosives, FAEs, conventional superbombs with the power of small nuclear weapons. The BBC and Germany's Der Spiegel magazine say Baghdad got the technology from a German company by way of Egypt. But Dan Raviv in London reports a think tank there says don't worry about the FAE bomb.
The director of the International Institute for Strategic Studies, François Eisborg, is a former French defense ministry official and says fuel-air explosives often don't work, and he doesn't believe Iraqi Air Force planes could penetrate U.S., British, and Saudi air defenses.
Very few indeed, if any, would manage to get usefully to a significant target. As one of my people put it the other day, it really would have to be their own very, very lucky day.
Eisborg published a study by his team of Western military analysts predicting certain victory over Iraq.
A conflict, if it broke out, would be intense, brutal, bloody, but not very long.
A few weeks at most, the Institute refused to predict how many casualties each side would suffer. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Four German human shield hostages have been released by Iraq and flown to Amman in custody of a German member of parliament. Baghdad called it a gesture tied to German unification. 73 Germans are still held in Iraq. The State Department is planning another special flight next week to evacuate Americans who are able to leave Iraq and Kuwait. In the Philippines, government forces have moved to crush an anti-Aquino rebellion, the latest one, Bill Whitaker reports.
Government planes bombed rebel strongholds on the island of Mindanao today. Witnesses say mutineers were retreating. Military officials claim government troops have regained the upper hand.
For all intents and purposes, the rebellion is finished.
Renegade Colonel Alexander Noble launched the insurrection early yesterday, declaring Mindanao's independence from the Philippines. Many Filipinos fear Noble's uprising will trigger yet another coup attempt against the government of Corazon Aquino. Today, President Aquino assured business leaders her government is in control.
We will crush these pretenders as we did before, for our people will never support their naked attempt to grab power.
One Philippine general predicted the uprising would be crushed by this weekend, but if nothing else, the rebels have exposed, once again, the weakness of the Aquino administration. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Manila.
The world's latest war in the Central African state of Rwanda brought fighting near the presidential palace in Kigali overnight. Earlier in the week, Rwandan rebels invaded from Uganda. France and Belgium have sent troops to protect their citizens. Shuttle Discovery is poised for tomorrow's first launch in 5 months. Christopher Glenn reports.
Despite yesterday's embarrassing mishap with Shuttle Atlantis, when a piece of a metal work platform was found to have been left behind in the engine compartment, Discovery's countdown is proceeding smoothly with nothing but nickel and dime problems, as test director Al Sofci put it. He said extra care was taken to make sure there was no repetition of the Atlantis goof during the Discovery closeout.
Everything looked good. We went through the paperwork. We actually counted all the platforms and took an inventory of them, and we also reviewed our closeout photos, and everything looks clean.
Two arrests this morning during a demonstration at the Space Center gate by about 20 people. They're protesting the fact that a plutonium power source is installed in the Ulysses solar probe Discovery will carry aloft. Christopher Glenn, CBS News, Kennedy Space Center, Florida.
At least five residents of a Detroit senior citizen's apartment house died overnight in a blaze the building manager blamed on a drunken tenant trying to use a stove.
I went down to his apartment and he had set the skillet on fire. I put it out and he said, I'm going to continue to cook, but I'm going to watch it. I said, you got to be careful. These people here got asthma. They're old. And lo and behold, when I came back out of the apartment, all the carpet in front of his door was on fire, and he had set that building back on fire.
About 50 people hurt there. A ship filled with toxic liquid ammonia got stuck in a lock gate today on Belgium's Scheldt River in Antwerp. No, authorities are downplaying the risk of a leak. And tropical storm Klaus, having already killed six people, has been upgraded to a hurricane. Checking the Dow again, it's off about 37. 10 past 7.
CBS News, I'm Mike Pulsifer. President Bush and congressional leaders are expected to spend much of the day talking, trying to decide what to do now that the House has rejected the proposed five-year deficit-slashing federal budget plan. Unless they come up with a solution, $105 billion in automatic across-the-board spending cuts take effect at midnight tonight. On the House floor today, Wisconsin Democrat David Obey directed a plea at the president.
Please, for the sake of the country, do not just tinker with the package that went down last night. Please make some fundamental changes that will produce more fairness for the middle class, more fairness for senior citizens.
That's also the plea from a seniors advocacy group. Doug Stone is a spokesman for the Gray Panthers.
We see other ways to make up that shortfall and increase the revenues, a number of options. And primarily based on, as it traditionally has been, the progressive income tax system. There are options out there.
Stone says the defeat of the budget plan is a victory for seniors. He concedes it's unfortunate, as he puts it, that there is no budget for the fiscal year that started 5 days ago, but says it's better to have no budget than the one that was defeated. Unemployment rose 0.1% last month from 5.6 to 5.7. Economist Erwin Kellner of Manufacturers Hanover in New York City says that settles it. The United States is in a recession.
Anytime you get the kind of declines in employment that you saw in the months of August and September, especially in the key manufacturing sector, you've got to conclude that the economy is going downhill pretty rapidly.
The jobless rate is the highest it's been in nearly 2.5 years. The Dow Industrials are down 24.75 points at 2492.08. New York Stock Exchange volume 47.33 million shares. President Bush has had ongoing discussions with members of Congress on all aspects of the Persian Gulf crisis, including the possibility of military reaction. But spokesman Marlon Fitzwater denies a Washington Post report a meeting was called solely to discuss the use of force. Iraq wants foreign companies with employees held hostage there and in Kuwait to provide a list of workers older than 55. Britain says that could mean the Iraqis plan to release them, but warns it could also be a ploy aimed at rounding up more captives for use as human shields. Tropical storm Klaus is now a hurricane moving slowly in the Atlantic near the Caribbean islands.
It's producing a lot of rain. Of course, moving very slowly increases the chance of a lot of flash flooding there in the islands. I understand there have been 6 lives lost already in Martinique and with the flash flooding.
Bob Sheets at the National Hurricane Center in Coral Gables, Florida. Klaus's sustained winds are 80 miles an hour. There was a small earthquake late last night in California. The quake registered 3.2 on the Richter scale. It was centered not far from Santa Cruz, near the epicenter of the 7.1 quake that killed nearly 67 people a year ago. Factional violence has dropped dramatically, so South Africa has canceled a 10-day-old night curfew in Soweto, the Black Township. 3 past the hour, CBS News.
Save hundreds of dollars a year on your life insurance payments and never see or talk to a salesman. Get a pencil and paper because in a minute, I'll give you a money-saving toll-free number. The company I'm talking about is SelectQuote. If you read the Wall Street Journal, Changing Times, or Money, you've seen their ads. Non-smokers, 32 years old, $250,000 worth of life insurance for $205. If you're 36, $150,000 coverage for $188. At age 45, a $500,000 life policy is $525. SelectQuote saves you money because they continually compare the costs of the term life insurance policies of 14 of America's top-rated companies. Call SelectQuote today, 1-800-654-1600, toll-free. They'll mail to you without any obligation a free personalized price comparison of the 4 policies that get you the most life insurance for the least amount of money. You make all the choices. No salesman will ever call on you. Order your policy by mail or telephone. Call SelectQuote today at 1-800-654-1600 and see how much you can really save on your life insurance.
2 of about 20 protesters who showed up at Florida's Kennedy Space Center have been arrested for trespassing. They were demonstrating against tomorrow's launch of Space Shuttle Discovery because it carries a plutonium-powered sun probe that they say could result in a radiation leak in the event of an accident. NASA test director Al Sofgi says the launch team is satisfied with the countdown.
Team feels great. They're relaxed. We're going through the launch countdown, doing what we do best.
Launch is set for tomorrow morning at 7:35 Eastern Time. Loyal soldiers in the Philippines have retaken one military garrison on Mindanao Island and appear ready to gain control of another. Rebel soldiers took over the facilities yesterday, claiming independence from the government of President Corazon Aquino. 1,000 Japanese riot police have been sent to a rundown Osaka neighborhood to try to put an end to sometimes violent street protest. The demonstration started a couple of days ago when a police officer assigned to a local police station was accused of taking a bribe from a Japanese gangster. Mike Pulsifer, CBS News.